Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
All In with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody. Scott Patterson, I Am All In podcast, 111 podcast, 111 media, 111 productions, iHeartRadio, iHeartMedia, iHeart podcast. And hey, kids, Scotty P's Big Mug Coffee is now available again for order in my Amazon store. So go to Amazon.com and prompt Scotty P's Big Mug Coffee, and you can order 3 packs in 10 different SKUs. Yay, we're back. We're bigger and better than ever. Joined by the Trepid crew, Amy Sugarman, Tara Sood, Suzanne French, Daniel Romo. Everybody is up, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Man, you can't even tell they just got up. They are alert. They are ready to go.
This is way too early.
We're not breaking down an episode today. And I don't know why I'm on the Zoom, because I don't know what we're doing. What are we doing?
We'll tell you, but first, this is early. So
this is my thrive time, baby. I'm ready.
I'm ready. I'm feisty.
Yeah. This is the middle of the night, because Danielle, what time do you go to bed?
I go to bed. I'm a grandma. I go to bed by 9 p.m., but I am up by 5:30.
Scott, when do you go to bed?
I go to bed at 9:30.
Okay. So I go to bed at 3. Maybe 2.
Why are you up so late?
Because that is the time.
That's the schedule.
That is the time when people stop calling and emailing all day. So I actually get the work done.
Right.
So what? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've been asleep 6 hours. Suzanne, when do you go to bed?
I usually go to bed around 10:30 and then get up about 5:30.
Oh my gosh. And your poor voice. Suzanne's back. But she's not 100%.
And I'm back from Nashville. My word.
Was it great?
Oh, it was great.
And what about Tupelo?
Tupelo was great. Tupelo was a fan convention. It was the people of Tupelo are so nice, so welcoming.
Scott called me with a fan. That was so nice. That made my whole day. That was nice.
But, you know, and then I went to Nashville and wrote songs with some of the top songwriters in the entire industry. And it was incredible 4 days. It was
incredible. That's so cool.
Incredible. That's so cool. Warner Chappell hosted it, threw us in the writer's rooms. I'm in there with Lee Thomas Miller and Emily Fowle, Emily Landis and Caleb Voth and Carly Scott Collins and Dan Pellerin. It was just amazing. Amazing. And we wrote, four songs out. We'll see what happens with them, you know?
That's great. And Tara, what time do you
keep you posted?
Yeah, do. Tara, what time do you go to bed? You go to bed later, a little later, like me. Not as late. Yeah.
No, I'm midnight usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what we decided.
I'm in my best REM cycle during that.
Okay. So why am I here? Why am I here?
So
why am I? I don't know. What, I get a message. Jump on a Zoom right now. We're doing something.
So we all talked about it. So we decided.
What's up?
Because we try to do this like when we have, people come on that listen, but they're so nice, right? They're so nice. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just can't be mean to us to our faces. I don't know, but they're always so nice. So we decided we're just going to do it and we're going to read the comments from social media.
Oh, really? Right. That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing. And then talk about it. So I know what the comments are. I don't think anybody else does. I think I know what, because Jackie and I worked on it together to pick. So I've seen some of them. I will admit that. But nobody else has. So everybody's just going to give their real, real reactions. And because we want, look, I'll start by saying two things and then I'll shut up and not interrupt. We do read them and we do care. We totally care. We totally take it to heart. We read them all. We sometimes are painful. So if you can imagine, sometimes there's 1,000 comments we read every week and some are mean. So we just joke. Everybody's like, I'm not a bot. And it's like, we know you're not a bot. We know that. We're just joking to cope, right?
Right.
So
We're joking to cope. That's for sure.
So please know we do read them. So okay, I think we just do it like we do pop culture. Jackie, I think you put them up on the screen and we'll go take turns reading them. But yeah, if you're listening, this could be effing brutal.
I also have to say, sometimes I scroll and there's some long comments.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They're like in depth.
Yeah.
I mean, the most astute fans in the world are Gilmore fans. They chapter and verse know these episodes.
Yeah, my favorite's when they comment to their comment.
Oh yeah,
add more.
Oh yeah, and they do three or four times.
Yeah,
right.
And sometimes there's like a whole conversation going on. So look, we wanted to do this. This is gonna suck. I mean, you guys will probably like listening to it, but for us, there will be some painful parts. But
is it time to face the music?
It just feels like we're in season 7 and we do want people to know, like, look, we actually do care. I think that's one of the things that there's not everybody, but some people think we don't pay attention to them and we do. And we actually try to take it to heart, but sometimes like, old habits die hard. Like we're not perfect. Okay. So Danielle, you start with that one.
Should I say who it's from?
No, let's protect the innocent and the guilty in case they, change their mind.
All right. So here's the first one. I think Lorelai's panic with the wedding was because of Anna saying she couldn't be a part of April's life until they were married. So to Lorelai, the wedding would solve all of those issues. Luke saying no, in my opinion, was to her him saying that she had to stay outside for longer, and the lack of date was her not knowing how long she'd be on the outside for. Then she does something really self-destructive and tells Luke because she needs their relationship to be over to justify sleeping with Christopher. I am team Lorelai all the way, but she is human and makes mistakes, and she made a big one here because she was hurting. Also, Amy referring to April as a human child all the time feels super weird to me.
Okay. First of all, she did just refer to Lorelai as a human. But fair enough. I'll take it. So what do you guys think of all the her thoughts? I mean, I kind of get it.
I think everybody's entitled to their opinion and we're entitled to ours as well. And that's what we do on this show. And that's why listen, when Amy and I initially talked about how this would be shaped, this podcast would be shaped. I wanted something a little different than what I was hearing on podcasts. I wanted it to be looser. I wanted it to be more debate. I wanted it to be back and forth and a little bit, you know, not chaotic, but yeah, I mean, I guess chaotic a little bit, yeah. And fun and just like, I want everybody to give their opinions, and that includes fans. And we have gotten a whole range of responses, hot and cold. So it's what I wanted. It's an open forum. It's, you know, we're free speech, baby. You know, yeah. We let the opinions fly.
This is a common opinion that I did see, that a lot of people think she did that and then intentionally went over to Christopher's, like that she broke up with you, mm-hmm. so that she wasn't, quote, cheating, and went over to Christopher's. I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know. I kind of interpreted that as she felt so bad, and maybe there's an interpretation where she just wanted to be honest with somebody that she truly respects.
Yeah, I don't know that.
And didn't want him to find out from somebody else.
No, so it's I disagree.
No? Okay,
I think she did the ultimatum because it was her way of saying, is Luke in or not? And mm-hmm. and then she acknowledged he's not fully in, right? And so she's like, you know what? This is over. And the one way to make it super, super over and not be able to recover from it is to sleep with Christopher.
Oh, wow.
So I do see with this person, the person that wrote this out, I actually think it's pretty valid. Like I do understand her points. And yeah, I mean, I think the sleeping with Christopher, I do think she did it intentionally. She knew that that's the one thing that she can't recover from.
I agree with that.
You do, Suzanne? I thought she went over there like one would. Like, I got to go to somebody that sort of loves me. I don't think she went over there intending to sleep with him because she was so barfed by it that she did it.
Well, I think she was, she had just gone over the edge. Like, she wasn't herself anymore. She was completely freaking out. I think it was multiple things. I think that she... You know, Luke let her walk away. And so to her, Luke is all out now. And so she just, I think I said this in a previous episode, she just had to put that final nail in the coffin. And maybe if she had been thinking more clearly and been a little more rational, she would have thought, okay, probably going to Christopher is not the right thing to do. But I think she just, like, she just needed to make it final. And I don't think she was cheating on Luke. I think Luke might have a different opinion of that, but mm-hmm. I don't think that she thinks she was cheating, and I don't think she was cheating because in her mind, it was already long over. Like, Luke is not fighting for her. Luke let her go.
Yeah.
So, you know, to her, it's
done. I think it's cheating per se, but like,
I can see how Luke would think that though.
Me too. I'm not a huge fan of like, you're engaged to somebody, you break up and you go sleep with somebody that minute, like literally that minute.
Yeah, I mean, it was a terrible decision. Don't get me wrong, but I can understand how she got there.
The only reason why I think it was kind of like cheating is it because it was kind of like one-sided in the sense of like they didn't have the conversation that they were broken up, which is why Luke came the next day to talk to her. Like, technically, there was no...
But in her mind, they did have the conversation. Her ultimatum was that conversation.
Right. Which is why I think... In her head, they were broken up, but I think in reality, they were not. So that's why I took it as cheating, because there was no conversation between the two of them of, we're done, this is it, we're moving on.
I just, okay, cheating debate aside, I'm sure we'll have that for a lot of days. I don't think she knew she was going to sleep with him. Now, I could be wrong, because I'm getting the vibe you guys, I literally do not think she went over there
I think if she didn't have that intent, I think she would have, because I feel like part of it was validation, right? Like, she needed to go to somebody who was going to not accept her. That's the wrong word, but like, what's the word I'm trying to find?
Like, not push her away.
Yeah. That's going to be like, yes, come, you know, like,
no, totally. I agree with that. She wanted,
She went to Christopher's and was like, I'm having a bad day. Then that wouldn't have been her intent, but She showed up and it was written on her
face.
Yeah,
I think she wanted the ego boost from a man that loved her. I just don't think she thought she would take it that far.
Yeah.
But I guess we don't know. All right. Should we keep it going? Okay, Scott, you ready? Actually, this isn't bad for you. This is nice for you. I got to say, I'm pretty bummed. Wanted to say heartbroken, but that's extreme, about how Scott categorized his plea to Lorelai as pathetic. That scene broke me and showed how much he loved her. It's not pathetic to fight for what you love. When you're at risk of losing something, you just put your ego aside and go all out. I thought Luke was real and raw, and it conveyed something beautiful and heartfelt. Nothing pathetic.
Gosh. I agree with her, the comment in that I agree with the comment in that it's not pathetic to fight for what you love. It's just how you'd go about doing that. And I think that's the distinction I was trying to make that I didn't make earlier. I think there's just a better way to do that without losing, without losing your dignity. And I thought
that scene didn't bother me.
It bothered me a great deal.
I wonder why.
It just showed because it showed how powerless he is. And I didn't think it was great writing. I'm sorry.
I liked the scene. I wonder if it was more like that she didn't respond.
Didn't like how I interpreted the writing. I shouldn't bag on the writing. I think I should take some responsibility here as an artist who maybe missed the mark on how to turn those phrases. You know what I mean?
I don't feel like you missed the mark at all. And I wasn't on the last episode, but I did mention in my comments that scene where Luke comes with his truck all packed and he's like, you know, I need you in my life. That was, in my opinion, one of the best scenes that you did in the entire series. Like, it was so good. And you can see, like, when she says, Luke, I slept with Christopher, like, you can just see all of the emotions just wash over his face right then and there. And it was amazing. I didn't think Luke was pathetic at all. I didn't think he was weak. I think the night before, Lorelai was panicking, and now he's panicking because he's realized that, you know, he's like, he's losing Lorelai. And so he suddenly had this epiphany that, you know, he had been shutting her out this whole time and now he's going to lose her. And he's like freaking the frick out about it. I didn't think he was weak at all. I thought it was a very good portrayal of his love for her.
Yeah, I think she should have said, okay, let's go.
Yeah, I think we would have been really upset with Luke if he didn't do that.
And I don't know why she didn't say, okay, let's go. Well, that brings us to this person's other comment. Why the hell do we spend so much time saying what should have been written? It's already been written and done. Therefore, it's the show. As much as I get frustrated with certain things on the show, it just is. And that is freaking life. Just feels like the need to rewrite takes me out of actual experiences. I know. I mean, I go both ways on this person's comment because I've also said exactly that before.
It's like telling us all just shut up and deal with the podcast. Show. It's like,
I know, just deal with it. But I also have just said this.
Deal with it, you dolts.
I know. I've said this, though. You guys, I actually said this. Just
funny.
But then at the same time, I rewrite half the
but
thing.
But that's life, right? Like, you remember things in the past and you're like, I kind of wish there are things like, kind of wish I did this differently, or what if this happened this way? Like, in your own life, you think of, even if it's like little things, little moments where you're like, I wish I would have said this, you know? So I think it's just natural.
I
Well, and it's also like we just kind of decided to go with the podcast this way, where we sort of give our real opinions on what we wish would have happened.
Yeah.
It's just a different show if we were just like, I don't know, maybe then what would we talk
about? I guess just about the plot and not about what should have been.
That's true. I guess
we really go deep in some other rewatch podcasts. Like, they hint at it, but like, we really just take it to the next level and... I think it just shows, but we're passionate about it. Like, we're passionate about these characters.
Right. We're fans too, and we have a right to give our opinions and be passionate about our opinions too. You know, but much respect, you know, Everybody gets a shot. No, everybody gets a voice, right?
Well, the next one's good.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Amy, this isn't coming from me.
It's all from Tara, 2563.
Amy's inability to self-reflect and take into account that we, as the listeners, only have issues and comment negatively about her week after week. The same comments and criticisms have been going on since the first episode aired. Scott Patterson beginning to speak publicly and candidly about the years-long rumor about him and Lauren not getting along on set, and rather than shut up and let him talk, she bulldozes over him to interrupt him and talk like, no one wants to hear from you, and everyone wants to hear what he has to say about the rumor. Also, she has escalated from mocking Danielle to mocking us as the audience. Then, Scott, going from calling us bots to haters who hate on everyone, yet in the same breath, they mock us for calling Danielle and Suzanne queens. If we were so hateful, would we compliment them week after week? We just are tired of the same requests of letting you co-hosts, especially Scott, speak before cutting them off.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you bulldozing me, woman?
First of all, look.
I'm a man who's been bulldozed by her.
I actually thought we look okay,
but she's a woman with a plan.
I have to take this in. And okay, number I listen to the mean comments.
I'm going to bulldoze you a little bit here. listen, gang. Fans love you, hear you, but this is I get it, but Amy is very passionate and very knowledgeable about this show as well, and I understand that it's frustrating at times, but this is how I wanted the podcast. It's not her fault. If you want to blame somebody, blame me, because I had an idea for a podcast. I thought the rewatch thing was an original idea by me.
First of all, that's amazing.
First of all, that's the funniest part of it. And then I found out there were, I don't know, dozens, and I went, oh, okay. Great minds think alike. But then, you know, I really emphasized to her the style of the exchanges in this podcast. I didn't want to make it, you know, this button down kind of scene by scene thing that we were going to worship at the altar of everything that was Gilmore. I said, you know, we're going to open it up. We're going to, you know, we've got all these, you know, really bright people on this cast and they have opinions, and that's what I wanted. And I said, I encouraged her to talk over. So,
well, yeah, we want it to be like, you know, the Thanksgiving family,
right?
Like, that gets just unhinged. It's like, right. We're not supposed to hold back. And look, I was glad to see Scott get snarky. And also, I think I wanted to support him so that he knew, like, yeah, let it be, let it go. You're safe. You're good. And so I think the other thing I will say, and this is not an excuse, look, I consciously work every week on everyone giving their opinion, right? And sharing. Now, the one thing that I will agree with, I'm sure I get like heated or jump in, whatever. I don't agree that I'm ever dismissive or whatever they sometimes say to Danielle or Suzanne. I don't personally agree with that because that's what we're doing here. Like that would be like, it's not dismissive. It's we're having a conversation. We don't have to agree. So
right.
I don't have to support them with their opinion if I disagree. And they do the same. They're like, no, like we just have already done it in this exact episode where I'm like, I think she went over there not intending to sleep with them. And they're like, no, she did. And I'm like, okay, like fine. Like the other thing I will say, and this is a little behind the scenes, sometimes nobody wants to listen to anyone talk on and on and on and on and on. And that's something that we know in like, when you learn about doing shows like this, If you watch anything on TV, at some point, there is a point where the news anchor has to jump in and move to the next question.
Right.
Also a little behind the scenes, not that anyone cares. Sometimes you don't know that there's 15 messages coming in at us. Like, hey, you've gone 20 minutes and you're in scene one. Hey, the guest is in the waiting room. Hey, This is happening. And Danielle and Tara and Suzanne don't have to pay attention to that. Scott and I do. Mm-hmm. So that's not an excuse. I'm just giving you a little behind the scenes sometimes we're just trying to move this ship along.
But right. But let me address this comments that I've made. So that's me trying to protect Amy because I know she reads every comment and she takes them to heart, but she's got a thick skin. But I know what it's like to read comments. There was a thing and have it affect your mental health because years ago I took a position in something and social media just slammed me and it was horrible and it was awful. And they said horrible things about my mother and who had passed away and all kinds of things. And it really does affect you. So that was in response to trying to have Amy's back because I know how hard she works and I know how much she cares about us as people. She's a really good person. She's a lovely human being and super supportive of all of us. So that's just me trying to have her back and say, hey, maybe don't read the comments so much. I don't want you to, you know, I don't want you to be taking these hits all the time. Cause I love her and I love you guys. And
I'm not trying.
Yeah. And I apologize to the fans and I just want to just flat out apologize to fans. I'm not trying to minimize you. I'm not referring to you as bots. I'm just trying to make Amy feel better. Like, this can't be real.
And it's so nice, right? It's so nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Obviously, so we know not you're not that. Bots because you've written a, you know,
right.
Very intelligent,
a very
comment.
Long comment with a lot of detail that I don't know that a bot could do. I don't even know what a bot does. I thought a bot just tells you to like buy a product somewhere.
But what I was referring to as a bot is not a Gilmore fan, but somebody from a rival podcast having somebody, their assistant or somebody, you know, start sending bad messages to us.
The other thing I'll say is
Because that happens in this game, right? I mean, they see a successful podcast and like, how
there are podcasts where we know intentionally. I'm not saying that's the case here, but people do do that, right? Like they go in and intentionally write mean comments so your rating goes down, which please don't do this. So anyway, the other thing I'll quickly say is there are about 1,000-ish plus comments a week, right? On all the different platforms we have. And sometimes the commenters don't agree. So I don't want anyone taking it personally if they think I'm not listening and doing what that comment says. I'm trying to sort of take it all in. And also, like, I'm 50. Like, changing me is not going to be the easiest thing in the world. But, like, by the way, I'm 50. Oh, my God. That's gnarly. Okay. So, anyway, I'm sure
she was born a bulldozer.
And before we move on from this comment, I do want to actually take something from it. And, Scott, is there anything that you didn't get off your chest about the Lauren number? Like, is there anything else left to be said? Since they, you know, this person does feel like you were cut off.
Oh, I think those rumors are things that are started by, you know, maybe entertainment publications or one journalist trying to get clicks for their magazine and let's start some, you know, because that's, you know, the classic tactic. In any kind of journalistic circles is like, let's build them up, especially in entertainment. Let's build them up, build them up, build them up. They're much beloved now. Let's not knock them down for clicks. You know, let's try to destroy something. Let's try to create something.
She's following you on Instagram.
Who is?
So Lauren just joined Instagram. Like literally.
Really?
Yeah. Like days ago. And it was a big deal. Everyone's talking about it. And
she's really?
Totally following you.
She's totally, I wow.
Yeah, you can give her, I don't know how you do that, but I'm sure there's some way to say like, welcome to Instagram.
Lauren Graham, welcome to Instagram. Good to have you. I mean,
oh my God, they're calling it Instagram.
Oh my God, that's so good. That's
cute. Suzanne, poor Suzanne has no voice, but she's going to try. They're calling it, get it? Instagram.
We got it. It's the first time. Yeah.
I have a question. Were these rumors circulated in, you know, clickbait articles? Was this during filming?
Yeah.
Did that affect anything between the two of you guys? Were you guys like, what the hell? Like, this is weird.
No, we were just too busy loving each other. We didn't even notice it. Because we weren't getting bulldozed.
I remember
it. We were too busy loving each other.
I mean, also, like, then you just work together again on the movies. So it's like,
Yeah.
Also, I'm sure it was so different because now on social media, like, people can expand on the topic and the conversation with back in the day. It was just one article and that was it, right?
Yeah, social media wasn't really even that big of a thing in the early
2000s. Right.
You couldn't just make a statement, hey, we love each other, or post a picture together.
I mean, we had a great time working together and it was always fun working with her, you know? She's super prepared.
She seems Lorelai-ish. Not fully, but like from when you see Lauren in interviews.
Yeah, she's full. She has hints of Lorelai. Full of jolly and full of jokes and full of fun, you know? Yeah.
She totally wore, I just forgot this, on the Instagram. She wore a shirt from Gilmore Girls in her first post.
Really?
Legend. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to move us along, not because I'm interrupting, but because it's time to move along.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Okay, I'll read one. I think that Amy keeps missing when she repeats the same exact opinions every week. What would you do if you had a long lost kid? Is that Luke purposely excluded from her life with April from the get-go? This wasn't a day or two or even a week to process. 2 months went by, and the only reason Lorelai found out is because she came into the diner that day, not because Luke told her. Honestly, that alone would be a reason to end the engagement. Then it's solely him compartmentalizing and excluding her without communicating an end game at all, never communicates any desire for Lorelai to be involved until he screws up April's party and needs her. You know, this person's making a very salient point.
Yeah, totally agree.
Let's also remember that Luke is a grown man in his 40s who has his life together. I get that the long lost kid is an adjustment, but my God, I'm tired of the oh poor Luke. He doesn't know how to handle the situation. Like the bar is set incredibly low here.
Look, I will say I do point, repeat yeah. it almost yeah. every week because people really like to pile on Luke for not immediately including Lorelai. This comment is accurate. It's filled with good points. But I also think there is a good point to saying, suddenly you find out you have a kid. That is so massive that my main point is, I don't know what I would do, what you would do, how you would really react to that. And we are going to dig into that in a different episode, but I don't know how I would react to that. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt in saying his reaction may not be as crazy as everyone thinks. You may not want, and it's also like, I thought about this for days, right? It's not like other things you could find out about. It's a kid. So there is sort of this like connotation, like you slept with somebody else, even though I understand it was years ago. It's a tougher one. And I do think people would feel like this could be a real problem in my relationship. So I'm going to take it slow. I just have some respect for the way he reacted. And like that other person said, this is how they wrote it. So right. I'm not rewriting it. I'm going, you know what? This is how he's reacting. I'm going to support it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how they wrote it. What I had to do, I could change it, right?
And I feel like, I mean, I think we've beat this poor horse just completely into oblivion. But I think it's not so much that anybody wanted Lorelai brought in immediately. It's that it just, the whole thing seemed so indefinite. Like he never had a conversation with her other than, you know, a couple words at Martha's Vineyard. There was just never any discussion about where his thought process was or anything like that. He just completely blocked her out. So I don't
know. My take on that is treating, he wasn't ready.
He's treating Lorelai like they've been dating for 2 months. In that situation, all right, take your time, bro. But they're engaged. They've known each other forever. And I don't really find the distinction of it. Like, I don't think it should change whether you're engaged or married. You know, that I don't think is a factor. And so just, you know, thinking about it in my own life, if my husband came to me and said, oh, I found out I had a kid in my 20s or whatever, I would feel some kind of way about it if he didn't include me.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah, let me ask you this
or
question.
Just talk to me about it. I don't need to be around the kid 24/7, but like, you need to talk to me about it and have these discussions. This is our relationship. This does, this let is an added thing to our relationship. So you got to.
What if it did happen? So what if your husband came to you and said, he just found out he had a kid. He comes to you right away and he says, I just found out I have a kid, a 12-year-old. Okay, what Ooh. Do you do? What is your actual reaction?
We have to talk about it.
No. You know, not talk about it. What would you do? Like, would you have the kid? Suddenly you have a second kid. They live with you half the time. What would you do? Like, skip the talking about it part. And I want to know what someone would actually do.
What I would actually do is I would tell my husband, we need to have a conversation on how we are going to handle this together. And I think that's the thing that Lorelai is not getting.
I know. I'm interrupting you because I want to know what you actually would do. Not the
that
talking
is what
about
I
part.
Would do.
Not that's the talking about do. It part. What I want
to
know.
That's what you have to do, though. You have to talk about it.
But
you have to talk about it and create a plan with my husband of how we are going to handle the situation together.
Correct. So my point is that you can't even, and again, write your letters. I don't care. Write your letters because I'm going to go hard. You're not even able to figure out what you would do. You're like, keep telling me we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. So Luke, who already has sort of a hard time with this kind of thing, is trying to figure out what he's going to do about it because he doesn't want to.
That's exactly the point. He's going to do about it. There's no we.
Well, right. Look, if it happens
exactly
to
the
me,
problem.
So say, so I want to jump to the next thing, right? Like, say my significant other comes to me and says he has a kid from 12 years ago. Obviously, I understand what you're saying. We're going to talk about it, but I'm already ready to say, like, okay, then they can move in with us, or let's figure out financially. We're going to have to send this, you know, help contribute financially. Like, I'm ready to go to that next step, right? So all this, they need to talk about it.
Okay.
Why didn't Lorelai say, wait a minute, why didn't Lorelai say, all right, here's what we're going to do, instead of everyone always having to talk about it.
But here's the thing. I think that there the imbalance between the verbal and mental abilities between Luke and Lorelai are stark. Mm-hmm. And I think that Luke might be avoiding even opening up the ball on this conversation because he probably fears he's going to get overwhelmed with logic and justification, and he's not ready for that yet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like getting into a conversation about something like this with Lorelai is something he's just not ready for because he knows she's going to come at him, you know, with justifications, and he's just not ready for it yet.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
He almost doesn't stand a chance with her. You know what I mean?
Well, but I mean, Luke holds his own against Lorelai all the time. Like, they have that back and forth banter all the time. And you guys keep saying he's not ready, he's not ready, he's not ready. But like, don't forget that scene where they were buying the birthday present and he tells her why he doesn't want to bring her in. It's because of his ego and he's afraid that she's going to like Lorelai better.
I sort of always thought that was a little hooey, but whatever.
It felt a little
excusey funny. I never thought that was really what he was
really
feeling.
Yeah.
I never believed that, but whatever. Keep going, okay. Suzanne.
Well, That's fine.
No, keep going. Keep going. I want to hear like.
No, I feel like we've beat this dead horse. I've said my opinion 100,000 times. So I don't see the point and keep going over it.
Well, because that's the whole show is for you. That's the whole show of this podcast is for you to keep giving your opinion because that's the conversation we're having. So like,
I think we're just never going to agree on this, yeah, but exactly. I think to, you know,
yeah. Right. I can relate to Lorelai. We can agree to disagree to Lorelai because the way Lorelai would probably come in is the same way I come in freaking hot with, hey, mm-hmm. we'll split time with her. She's going to live here. I'll do this. And Luke is overwhelmed by that. Mm-hmm. And I think Scott's point is so well taken.
I think that might be a little bit true. Yeah.
Sure. But, you know, I think just still there's just a complete exclusion, which is the issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Lorelai mm-hmm. can come in like that and Luke can say, you know what? I need a second.
But
you know,
like, did say.
But he didn't. He didn't. He shut her out. He's like, oh, mm-hmm. you can't come. Like, who wants to be? He honestly dismissed Lorelai for the whole front half of that April situation until the birthday party came. But she did take it like that. Lorelai took it like that. That was her.
Right. And what I've always wondered, and this is, like I said, Abraham Hicks, right? This is this, like, if you go on YouTube, it's one of those self-help people, right? And her whole process, I would love to hear her analyze this because it would be that Lorelai is making herself feel bad about this, not Luke. And I know that's kind of like hippy-dippy, woo-woo-y, whatever, but that Lorelai, because she loves Luke, should trust Luke and his process that he needs for this instead of needing it to be the way she needs it to be.
And I think she was trying to do that. She was giving him his
space. She was always with a huffy puffy, not, she wasn't fully authentically doing it. Whereas when the roles reversed, Luke really, really gave her what she needed when she was having her issues with Rory. So my take on it, and again, I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I don't know. It's just my take, right? Like, that's like life, is that she never fully was supportive of what his process was. She wanted her process to be his process, but it just wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and vice versa, I guess you can mm-hmm. say.
I mean, again, we've had this conversation before. I feel like she did support him because she did exactly what he asked of her, which was to stay back and not participate in anything. And so I feel like she was supporting him. She wasn't inserting herself. She wasn't showing up at the diner after he told her not to. And she wasn't, like, you know, trying to meet April in any way other than what he wanted. So I feel like,
no, I get what you're saying, but she wasn't doing it internally. She was, so like, it's,
but that doesn't, does it really matter why though? I mean,
for me it does, because it's why there was the explosion. It's being hard to get versus playing hard to get. That's the best comparison I can give you. When you play hard to get, it's all a game and it's all BS, right? And you explode out and have an ultimatum exactly like she did. When you are hard to get, it's very genuine, and that you never have that because that is, it is more core, right? So for me, Lorelai was playing it and not mm-hmm. being it. She was doing it, but she never was feeling it. She was feeling all the pain, which is exactly why, and I think the writing is brilliant, she exploded out, because she was never authentically doing it. She was robotic. I don't know what the words are. Hopefully I'm conveying it.
Mm-hmm. No, I get what you mean. And you're saying that Luke was living that. He wasn't playing at it.
Correct. He was sort of, yes, that's in my opinion.
He was being the genuine person and conveying his genuine feelings at the top of that whole situation. Like, this is what I need. Mm-hmm. Right, respect it, and this is not a game to me.
But he wasn't telling her. I mean,
you can fault him for a lack of communication. You can fault him for that. But
wait, the one thing I would hope, and again, that's why we're doing this. And Suzanne, I know you're coughing. the whole podcast is for everybody to keep giving their points, right? And not to be frustrated by continually having the conversation, because I do want to hear what everybody has to say. And I know you're getting frustrated. I don't want you to get frustrated.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The next one is, I don't hate Amy and I'm not a bot. I just don't know how Amy basically bullies her opinions and not allow others to express their opinions without waiting for the person to finish what they want to say. That being said, I feel that Anna should not have put those conditions on Lorelai saying April. If I were in Lorelai's position, I would want to establish some sort of relationship with my future stepchild before I walk down the aisle. Most psychiatrists recommend that kids meet their parents' significant other at least 9 months to a year after the couple start dating. Also, to Anna's comment about how marriage signals stability, I would disagree with that in that there are many people who are in a stable relationships who aren't necessarily married. I realize that Anna's view of romantic relationships is very outdated, but there are lots of couples who have been in a stable relationship for years without formalizing it. My mom's sister and her husband were in a relationship with each other for at least 10 years before they got married. One can be in a marriage and it's very unstable.
I totally agree with everything this person just said.
Yeah.
Including the top part.
Most psychiatrists recommend that the kids meet their parents' significant other at least 9 months to a year after the couple start dating.
That's really interesting.
Like, you're not supposed to just date someone for 2 months and introduce them to your kids. If you believe what, like, you do whatever you want, everybody, that's what the recommendation is. Wait, go back to the top so I can just take it in. That I bully my opinions and not allow others to express their opinions without...
I don't think that's, you know, it may come off that way, but I think everybody here has no problems expressing their opinions. Tara, have you ever had a problem
giving your opinion
or Suzanne? Or I've never had an issue expressing myself, and Danielle's never had an issue expressing. It's just that when you believe that you know, you're following a thread like a lawyer would in a case and wants to prove their point, That's all it is. And people can disagree or agree or disagree, but you know, nobody here has had a problem.
No, and I always go and take it. I always listen. You know,
right. I also just want to say,
and then I go think about it and go, oh wait.
But the thing is when I'm talking about myself, please don't interrupt me. Okay. Or no.
Carl, what were you saying?
That's the only rule we have here.
I also just want to say, like, I can't speak for everyone, but for me, like, I never leave our episode thinking like I was treated like I couldn't say anything. And I just want to point that out. Like, I've never felt that way, or I've always left our Zoom meetings with, like, you know, a smile on my face. It was a good episode, and I've never felt negatively. So
wouldn't
I just want to say that.
It'll be a bit boring if we were all just like,
yeah,
I think this. I agree with you. Bye.
Like, let's, it's just, actually, like, let's do that. Point? No, let's do that. Let's do that right now. Let's do that right now.
I also was like, do an episode without me. Like, I told Scott that. I go, no, why don't you guys just do an episode without me? And he's like, no.
Okay, so wait a minute. We just read this comment. I agree with everything.
Me too.
It was said. Amy does. Danielle, do you agree with everything that was said here?
Yeah, of course you do.
Of course you do. As Suzanne agrees as well. We don't even have to ask her. We can see by the look on her face she agrees. Tara, you agree too?
Yep.
Okay, good. Let's move on.
Now, I will say this person does make a good point in that Anna is sort of a real pill, right? Like, I get what she's saying in protecting her kid, but like, Luke and Lorelai have been together for like 100 years, like friends and together. So I always thought Anna was sort of, and I said it, was like a bit.
She was a little over the top, I think. I think it's valid that she wants to protect her kid. I completely agree with that. But when she said something about how she wouldn't introduce her daughter to somebody until she's ready to get married, like, that seems weird, because what if your kid and your fiance don't get along? Like, then.
Well, and also her point is that, and it's like, okay, right. And I'm engaged to this guy. So it was sort of dumb. Like, I don't know. Anna was sort of dumb.
She was just giving a reason why.
Yeah. This person's comment of, like, her view on relationships a bit outdated. I actually never saw it that way, but I could see it now, because I feel like these days, like, if someone's not married but they've been together, I don't really question it. I'm like,
well,
oh,
I love
together.
The part in this comment where the person says there's so many bad marriages. Exactly. Like, Luke and Lorelai, unmarried, even not engaged, could have a way better, more stable, better relationship for a child than idiotic people who are married and, like, have a slew of problems. So whoever wrote this, I think that their comment is actually so perfect, because they're saying it so well. Like, I just agree with everything they said, even the top part. Let's
very
do another. I didn't realize this is going to be a 10-part series, but let's do another one.
Very, very incisive commentary. Very incisive.
A fantastic episode of the podcast. I came very close to ending my Gilmore Girls rewatch because the Luke Lorelai plot of season 6-7 is just too contrived, while Rory has very little to do. This podcast saves it because it's interesting to listen to the show being discussed by a group of intelligent, thoughtful people.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my gosh.
I love the fact that the pod crew have different perspectives on the show and characters. They challenge me as a viewer while keeping things lighthearted and being respectful of each other. Amy in particular is clearly an outstanding broadcaster and would love to see her doing different shows. Mom,
how much did you pay this person, Amy?
Yeah, how much?
Mrs. Sugarman.
Amy made a second account.
This is from my Finsta. No, I literally did not write this. I do not know the person. But that's so nice. And thank you. And also, that is the point. Like, we want you to listen, because even if season 6 and 7 blow, we're going to have a good time talking about it. And how about Scott? Scott was just on fire last week.
What did I do?
Spewing stuff, and it was great.
I didn't nothing. I'm always on fire. You know, come on. And in Tupelo, the fans, and I polled everybody that came to see me, and it was a lot of people, good folks. And I they all listened to the podcast, and I said, what do you think about this? You know, what do you think about Amy? And they love Amy, and they, oh God, we love her so much. So I got one of them on the phone, because I knew Amy was, you know, a little bit, you know, tender.
Sad.
I mean, she was getting an ass whooping, and I don't like to see that, man. She's my girl. So this fan, I called, I FaceTimed Amy and this fan
so nice.
Said, we love you, Amy. Hmm.
And I'm also fine that if there's haters, like bring it. I get it. It's your show. It's we're the, you know, we talk, but it's your show and we do pay attention. That is the one thing I will say. But anyway.
All right. Probably an unpopular opinion, but I don't think Luke and Lorelai is a great love story.
Oh, snap.
Wow.
Let's hear it.
I want to hear that's interesting.
I'm not mad about it.
All right, let's.
I'm not mad about this.
All right, easy tiger. Easy tiger. I think they could have been. I think they could have been because all the making for a great relationship was there, but they put so much conflict between them. We got such a small window of them being happy and a healthy relationship. I know it's for the drama of the show. Exactly why. But it really takes away from my view as seeing them as a solid relationship.
Also true.
Also, my take on Luke packing up the truck to elope wasn't out of character. He was desperate and making a giant leap to get her back. Unfortunately, it was too late for her.
I kind of agree with everything this person is saying, too. There is so much conflict and issues. We don't ever get to just enjoy how funny they could be together or the like antics they could have, like when they went to that party and they were driving home and Lorelai was all drunk. Like, we don't see enough of that.
Well look if it's too the challenge in the writer's room is how do we balance, and I thought they did a great job of balancing out the needs, servicing the needs of a committed relationship that was idyllic and long-suffering while not sort of giving up the ghost all the time. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's like, how do you balance that and keep people engaged? And I think they did a beautiful job with that, with the conflict, you know? I mean, I'm not disagreeing 100%. I'm saying, but again, you know, one thing I do know and one thing writers, experienced showrunners and experienced writers on TV tell me is that you give the audience what they want, they're going to go away. You've got to keep
it's
them
so
wanting,
true. I mean,
wanting,
moonlighting
wanting.
Is the perfect example. Right. Remember?
Right. Drag
Everybody
it out.
Wanted Maddie and whatever. Right. Well, Maddie and whatever. But
David.
Oh, yeah. Dave and Maddie. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, wah, wah. Right. And even Ross and Rachel. It wasn't just smooth sailing, even though we all kind of knew they would end up together. Anyway, let's do a couple more. We're running out of time. And I'm not interrupting. I'm just telling everybody.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Danielle, step up.
I'm with Tara in that overall, I like revival episodes more than season 7. The good stuff from season 7 towards the end is not enough to make up for the lack of how much it sucks for the majority of it. For me, it's because of Christopher. Season 7, he is there constantly into the second half. They take his character that 99% of fans hate and shove him on our screens, down our throats for half the season. Always around, always with Lorelai. He completely drags the show down with his presence. Not only that, during all of this, there's zero to very little interaction with Luke and Lorelai. You take one of the most beloved relationships on the show, Luke and Lorelai, and completely take it from us, their friendship included, and replace it with one of the most hated relationships of the show, Christopher and Lorelai. And as the audience, we're just supposed to accept that that's how things are now? No. This was such a poor writing choice and a disservice to fans. It's even things like Lorelai going to the diner. That is one of the most staple parts of the show. Literally, the first scene of the show is Lorelai going into the diner. But season 7, it takes until episode 19 when the season is almost over before she steps foot in there again. Spoiler alert. Taking these major things of what the fans love about the show away makes the show not what it once was. And if I had been watching it live, I would have been one of the viewers who dropped out. In the revival episodes, even with their flaws, we have zero interaction with Lorelai and Christopher. Luke and Lorelai are together. Oh, spoiler alert. And Christopher is the only one, is only in one short scene. And so for those reasons alone, that makes the revival episodes more enjoyable to me as the whole than season 7.
Yeah, good points in here. I don't totally agree with every part of it, but great points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
I think that's why I enjoyed the revival, is because season 7 really takes you out of that comfort. Like Lorelai would go to the diner every day. And I didn't even realize it was until episode 7 that she doesn't step
foot. Like episode 19.
I'm sorry, season 7, episode 19.
Yeah.
That she doesn't even step foot. And that kind of takes you away from your comfort show.
Yeah. Right. There's things in season 7 I do like. And obviously, we're going to break it all down. But this person makes great points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can all be right.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, you know what I'm getting out of this is just how engaged and how smart these fans are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally. Oh, like, and they have, we're not even doing some of the things today because we wanted to be a little bit more broad.
Right.
Sometimes they see things that I'm like, I didn't even
amazing
see that.
Analytical and critical abilities.
And the way they like call back to like 4 seasons ago, and they're like, well, this is the reason why. And I'm like,
well, that's what Suzanne is so good about. Suzanne, yeah. I know her voice is kind of going, but hopefully she's here. It's like, Suzanne is the fan like that, that is, and she just probably has a better memory, is able to bring something from past seasons into the conversation with us, which is why she is the queen, even though you're going to say I'm mocking.
Well, we all watch shows differently as well. Like, I'm someone who, like, I may not take note on every little thing, but I enjoy the ride. Yeah. And there are people who watch it and really take note on every little thing. And I think that's also what we have to remember as we sit here and rewatch and the fans rewatch. Like, we all watch them in a different way.
Totally. That's such a good point. Like, I have my shows that I iron to, and then I have my shows that I have to focus the whole thing. And then I have my shows where I'm doing my emails and I pretty much think I miss half the show if you're doing.
Yeah,
you're right.
Okay, this person makes a great point. Uh-huh. To me, Lorelai not checking up on Luke after the car crashed into his diner emphasized how she truly believed that she'd lost him for good. I think that's an amazingly good point.
It kind of is, yeah.
I actually think that she would have run over there. Anyway, not just as her fiance, but as her best friend too. Here's the thing. Lorelai and Luke's relationship is rooted in a decade-long close friendship. Even if they aren't in a romantic relationship with each other, they still have a platonic relationship that means just as much to them. I totally also agree. Their first breakup in season 5 highlights this too when Lorelai is breaking down and calling Luke to come over because she really needs her best friend to be there. Now in season 7, for the first time ever, it feels like they lost that friendship. This is such great points. The damage that was done was too severe to bear at all.
Lost
spoiler
the friendship.
Spoiler alert, Danielle. I think it's also important to note that Luke and Lorelai first became friends again before getting back together in the finale. They're best friends first and foremost, and Lorelai not running over to Luke's in this episode shows they've lost that as well. I mean, this is very astute.
What a great comment.
Yeah. Really good.
Yeah. It kind of goes back into the bumper analogy in that last episode. It's like she's not only not in the car, but now she can't even hold on to the bumper anymore. It's like the whole thing is completely broken off. It's the engagement and the friendship. And she just needs to draw that bright line that this is done. Like, I can't go check on him because it just needs to be fine.
We're not really friends anymore if you can't share April with me, right? It's like a friend would do that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a very interesting point.
Yeah. Let's do one more. Astute. Scott, you read it.
Scott is 100% right, and that's it. Thanks, everybody.
Who did you say this one?
Scott is 100% right. It was a cruel and odd way to go about this relationship. It was completely off. I absolutely hated the way Lorelai was in this episode. I'm not sure if I'm the only one, but instead of having a conversation, she gave him an ultimatum, and that's just not how you'd approach a love like theirs.
I agree.
Great point.
And I get that she exploded. Totally fine. I'm totally fine with her explosion. Totally fine with the ultimatum. Then she needed to calm down. And then they could have solved it.
So because of these comments, maybe re-examine some of my thoughts about the writing. Maybe the writing is so good that it begs all of these questions and all of this controversy, right?
Well, that to me is what I love about the show. Like, I love that for 12 weeks, we've been having the same conversation. That doesn't bother me. I get that other people don't feel that same way. I mean, I have a friend And we've been having the same conversation for 3 years about her relationship. 3 years. And I'm happy to, every day I have it again and I'm fine. But I get how some people find that frustrating. Right. I just don't. Yeah. So this, I thought we were going to get through 25 comments. We've gotten through like seven. So I don't know. I liked this. I think we can definitely bring this back again. Maybe we will. We'll go through a few more episodes and then.
I think it's eye opening. I really like this.
Yeah.
When you told me what this was, I was like, oh, but this is really eye opening.
Yeah.
Smart folks. Well, I must say that was quite refreshing. Amy, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, we did go through a lot of comments.
We yeah, but enough. I mean, I think it represents
no, but we had to read them all. So the pain of reading them all to find the ones we were picking.
Right. Right. And, you know, that's why you get the big dollars, because you take the big hits.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Anyway, one thing is for sure. It's possible to love the fans as much as we do and love Amy as much as we do. And we appreciate her. We appreciate you guys. We disagree with you guys sometimes. We disagree with Amy. But we can all agree that... we're having one heck of a fun ride on this podcast. And, you know, it was a phone call to Amy, 3 years ago? And look at us now. I mean,
we're on season seven. It's so crazy.
And I think we all look forward to this every week. Get together. We get to see each other. And
even when you make me do it so early,
even when it's early, you know, anyway, all the best. And really, we do appreciate your comments. Please keep them coming. They are important. Your voices are always taken seriously and they're always important. So just keep them coming, kids. We will see you next time. Thank you, gang. And have a great day and stay safe out there. Forget, follow us on Instagram at @IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.